Another good morning that God has given us to be together. And we thank him for the blessing of life, the blessing of just to be alive. You know, when we think of all that God has done to call us his own, all that God has done to love us, all that God has done to send his son. You know, the Bible says that he that did not spare his own son, how will he not graciously give us all things, you know? And he has given us, he gave us the greatest thing that he could ever give. That was his only begotten son. And when we think of that, we can know that there is nothing that we ever need that God will deny us, that God will not give us, because everything, he gave us everything. And when I think of it, it's like Christ is the answer and is a real solution for everything that we need. And our understanding of who God gave us is actually what makes the difference in our lives. Because, you know, when you think of him giving us his spirit, and when his spirit comes to us, it gives us birth. We are made new creations. We are not the same. You know, we are not ordinary. You know, the Bible says that, you know, we used to look at men after the flesh, but we no longer do so. We used to think of Christ after the flesh, but we no longer do so. He is the heavenly man. He is the man from above. And the Bible says we too shall bear the image of the heavenly man. As we bore the image of the earthly man, we who are born again bear the image of Christ, and we are his body, and he is our head. And we just have to constantly reflect that God came to make us one with him. He came to give us that union. He came to give us that freedom and that liberty of sons of God, that, you know, that we can take possession, we can take authority over things in our lives, over things in our families, that creation has to be in order because we are here. And because even though it has been groaning, but now the manifestation, the revelation of the sons of God, the time has come. And that time comes with knowledge. You know, when God opens our eyes, he opens our understanding to see what he has given in us through Christ. And you know, when we think of Christ, you have to think of Christ as the union, you know, between Jesus and his church. And that is done by the Holy Spirit. So we have to know that we are in Christ and he is in us. And that union, when he has set us with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities, all powers, all thrones, all dominions, all works of darkness. That is our place of authority. That is a place where we are married to him. That is a place of our union in Christ. And constantly let us fix our eyes on Christ. And even as we read the word of God, let us read with that vision, with that vantage point. Let us constantly see ourselves in the word and see even the things that Jesus did. See, we are already part of him. You know, we are part of him, and we were in him even before the foundations of the earth were laid. That means we were in Christ. Even when he came, we were in him. And even the things that were spoken of him are also spoken for us. That's the kind of revelation that we need to have, that even when we see Jesus, you know, do these miracles, we were in him doing those miracles. You know, the same way the Bible says that, like we were in Adam, you know, all men, you know, we sin as because Adam sinned, we were in him and we also sinned. Now think of it in the same way that we are not of Adam. We are of the last Adam, the second Adam and the last Adam, who is of Christ. So we were in Christ. That's why the Bible says in love, he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. You know, for those he foreknew, He predestined, and those he predestined, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. So God was working in Christ to reconcile all things to him, and And even as you start to see what Christ does and what is spoken of him, put yourself there, because we bear his image just as the same as we bore the sin of Adam. Now we also bear the image and the grace and the righteousness of Christ because of what Jesus has done for us. And this is really the blessing that God gives us, the blessing that God wants us to have. And I pray that even as we continually read the Word of God, may we not see ourselves as distant from Christ, but see of that union that we have in Christ, that when that what Jesus came to show us is that we can live this life, we can live this supernatural life, we can live this life of God, this Zoe, this eternal life that God wants us to live on the earth, and we can be dispensers of the same life. So we are in the book of Luke, and we are seeing the fulfillment of the birth of John the Baptist. And, you know, we talked about how, you know, how when they were filled with the Spirit, and how this women who are carrying all these miracle babies, Mary and Elizabeth, and when they encounter one another, you know, the baby in the womb is filled with the Spirit, leaps for joy. Elizabeth gets filled with the Spirit and prophesies. Mary herself gets filled with the Spirit and prophesies, and they rejoice in the doing of God. And so we are in this place again, where now in verse 57 in Luke chapter 1, where it says that now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. I pray that God will show us great mercy. God will show you great mercy. You know, when you have waited for that answer, when you have trusted God, when it looked like it was never happening, then just God shows up. Why? Because his promises are yes and amen. The Bible tells us that no good thing does he withhold from him whose work is blameless. Every good thing he has given us, his divine power has given us all that we need for life and godliness. You have everything that you need, everything that you can think of, whatever that you need, God has provided, and he will do it. And it might look like it has delayed, but to God is just on time. I'm just thinking of Elizabeth and Zechariah. They thought that God had forgotten them. They must have prayed and prayed and prayed, and it looked like it was never happening. It looked like God had forgotten. Yet to God, it was about his divine time. Because God is very objective. God is very, you know, he's very contemplative. God is accurate. There is nothing that he does that is not intentional. And you see, so Elizabeth gets to the point where she rejoices, and she says that the Lord has shown her great mercy. And the Bible says that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, no, he shall be called John. And you see, that name John means Jehovah is a gracious giver, or Jehovah is a giver of grace. You can imagine they have been trusting. And what is grace? Grace is just the mercy of God. And that is what they were told. His name shall be called John. Why? Because he is a representation of the grace of God that is to come, and he comes to make that way. Jehovah is a gracious giver. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by this name. You know, when I think of this, I'm just thinking of what God has said for us. You know, you will be the first. You will be the head and not the tail. I mean, there is a separation that happens when you are called of God, when you are born of God. There is a separation that comes from your lineage. Yes, it might never have happened in your family. It might never have happened among your relatives. It might never have been spoken in your own clan, in your whole clan, in your own village. It might never have been spoken of, you know, of your country. But when Christ comes, when you come to that understanding of what Christ has done, what he has given you, he has already given you every answer that you need. It is locked up in his Son. It is locked up in the Holy Spirit. And he's told, none of your relatives has been called by this name. Yes, yes. They have no understanding. They don't know what God called you to be. They have no understanding that God gave you himself. And that is why you bear a different image. You bear the image of the heavenly man. You are heavenly. And he said, none of your relatives are called by this name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. His name is Jehovah, is the gracious giver. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. And he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all the neighbors. And all these things were talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. And all who had them laid up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. Verse 67, and Zechariah, his father, filled with the Holy Spirit, and prophesied, saying, you can think of how all this family is now just having an outpouring, a revival of the Holy Spirit. And I say that, you know, for us, we are even much, much different from them, because to them the Spirit had not yet been poured out. You know, the Spirit will just come, descend, and for a moment they will prophesy and do that. But for us, he lives inside of us. So each and every moment, if we just spend time with him, if we just read his word, as we allow him to rise in us, then we are able to be prophetic. We are able to continue to declare the words of the Spirit. And Zechariah says that blessed be the God, Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And I want to pause there, because you have to understand that there are two people being referred to. There are two prophecies here. There is one, the prophecy that is speaking of the Christ, and this goes up to verse 75. But then from verse 76, he now speaks of his Son. You understand? So when the Holy Spirit comes upon him, first he declares the prophecy of the Christ. And now he says, thanks be to God who has visited and redeemed his people. Why? Because God has raised a horn of salvation for us. Who is it? He's talking about the Christ. He's talking about the Christ, the Messiah that has been raised up, who is the Son of the living God that has been raised up in the house of David. And this is a fulfillment of what he spoke to the holy prophets of old, that they shall be saved. But you see, their mindset was different. To the Israelites, they were thinking of an earthly king, one who will save them from the Romans. You know, because to him, they're thinking the enemy is the Romans. But we know the greatest enemy that we have was the devil. Why? Because Because he was already defeated by the Christ. Defeated by Jesus, and the Bible says that he has made a public spectacle of him, triumphing over him over the cross. And all this is for the church. And what God tells us to do is submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. If the devil, who is their king, shall flee, what of demons, what of wizards, what of witchcraft, what of, you know, spirits, all those evil things, their main devil, their main ruler, their main powerful man, God tells us, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. So the greatest enemy of man is defeated. So to them, they're thinking that, oh, the enemies referred, they were earthly enemies. But remember, our struggle, oh, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our war is not with them, but our wrestling is spiritual. And so these enemies are defeated. And he's speaking of the Christ, and he has promised to show our Father's mercy and to remember his holy covenant that he swore to our father Abraham. And you can think of that to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and serve him in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Christ has come to give us this holiness and this righteousness. And that's why when we understand the teaching of righteousness, it is in his eyes. He has declared us righteous. I call you holy. I see you holy, so that you can serve me without fear. And that's why the Bible says we can, with confidence, we can boldly approach the throne of grace where we receive mercy. And that word receive there is take hold. We lambano. We receive mercy and grace for our time of need. It is you to go and partake of the grace that you need. Verse 76 now speaks of his son, which is John. And he says, and you, child, or you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise, and here there are different versions that's called the day spring, and here it refers to Christ. You know, the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance into Israel. So, Zechariah is filled with the Spirit and gives accurate prophecies, first of the Christ, then of his son, that his son shall be called a prophet of the Most High God. And you see, that's why when you think of what Jesus says about among those born of women, none is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because all the prophets desired to see the Christ. All the Old Testament prophets, they longed to see him. They were wondering, how will this be that God will come in flesh and be in a man? They longed to see it. But you see, it says, but the ones who are born of the kingdom of heaven, born of the kingdom of God, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Why? Because we are not born of women. We are born of God. We are born of God. We are born again. We are born from above. And that's the difference. And he says that to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. What is John came to show us the way. He came as to show us a voice in the wilderness, crying out, showing this is the way, to prepare the way for the Lord. And who is that way? He is the light that comes to those who sit in the darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And now he also tells his disciples, now you are the light of the world. You're not just the light of your home. You are the light of the world. Do you believe that? Can you believe that everywhere you go, you bring light by virtue of your presence in that nation, in that country, in the world? The people that sit in darkness receive light. They shall come to life. Those that sit in the shadow of death, you have the ability to bring them, to bring life to them. And the Bible says, tells us, verse 80, the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance into Israel. For me, it speaks of growth in the things of the Spirit and growth in understanding as we continually behold the glory of God, as we continually are in Spirit, as we continually desire the things of God, as we continually consecrate ourselves and partake of the Word and partake of prayer and just spend time with Him. What happens is that God grows us in Spirit. We work strong. We grow strong. And you can see that this child, until the day of his public appearance, there is a time that God shall bring you forth to the light that all men shall see. But until then, keep in that place. Keep in that place of growth. Keep in that place of growing and spending your intimacy. You know, one of the things that has been challenging me is that just spend time. And even if no one is to know or to see or to hear, just enjoy that time with me. Enjoy that time. Enjoy that intimacy. And that's the thing that once it grows in you, then when you step out, whatever it is that you need to say, words are given to you. The authority that God gives you comes from Him. You bring light where you are. You are the light of the world. Just as it was spoken of Christ that He shall give light to those who sit in darkness. The light Himself came and told you that. I was that light. Now you are the light. So that's why I was saying all these prophecies, see yourself in them. See yourself in it. See yourself in Christ, because Christ is Jesus and His church. And it is by the anointing which allows us to be that. So I will stop there, and I pray that God will give us reflection and insight into the things that we have spoken. You're welcome, people of God.
I don't have much to add or nothing to add from my side. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for sharing. I also don't have anything to add, just a challenge to live every day, you know, with the reality of, you know, what God is doing in us and, you know, the promises of His promises in our life, just living every day with that reality.
Amen. Yes, true. May God constantly give us that awareness, that consciousness of what He has done and what He is doing. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You. We thank You for the things that You did in the lives of Zechariah and the lives of Elizabeth. And Your word is true. You still fulfilled it. That which You had purposed from the time from creation, You shall do it. And indeed our lives are ordered. Whether there are delays to ourselves, but to You it is in perfect time. And I thank You that You are showing mercy to Your children this morning, that as they continually look unto You, You are a provider, You are the one that answers, You answer by prayer, You answer fire, You answer everything that we need, and You are in charge, O God, and You've given us the authority, You've given us Your Son, You've given us the greatest gift of Your own Spirit, and we are not victims, but we are victors. We walk in victory. Thank You that, Lord, even this day is blessed of You. We are ordered. Our steps are ordered of You. We walk in victory, and we see victory all around us. Our families are covered. Our children are sheltered. Our relatives are blessed. Our workplaces are blessed. That indeed we stand and we walk and we move according to the divine plan and purpose that You have for our life. Go ahead of us, strengthen us, keep over us, watch over us, and sustain us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye.